talking wildlife, encounters in your backyard, front yard, or in your neighborhood with Amy Burnett from Arizona Game and Fish Department. I have to tell you, Amy, this year, for the first time ever, after living here in the Valley since 1966, I considered building some bat habitat in my backyard. I understand a bat will eat 1,000 mosquitoes a night. I thought, you know what? I need about 40 bats living in my backyard. What's the probability of attracting and maintaining a bat habitat?
So it depends on where you live. So some of your listeners right now, you're up in Pine, Payson, up on the Rim, Flagstaff, Prescott. Go for it. You know, put up a bat house. If you're down in the Valley, anywhere down where you and I are, those bats really don't use bat houses. And the reason is just because they would cook in there, and they know that. It's just those houses get really warm, and it's not the right, it's just not the right habitat for them. It's not the right microclimate, as we call it. So if you put up a bat house, chances are it's not going to be used. And a recent study found that bats really don't use bat houses, except for very, very small amounts. Okay. So I would just do what you do. And bats are going to be, if you have a pool, you might see bats coming down and taking a drink out of your pool. And you might see bats using your patio, your front patio or entryway as a roosting site. So it's one of those things where, you know, just sort of cross your fingers, you might have them and they'll help you out.
All right.
And don't we have like 13 different types of bat species in Arizona? Do I remember that right?
Oh, it's more than that. I'm thinking it's close to,
34?
I wish I...
They use 13
snakes.
30 bats.
Somewhere between that. Wow. 30. Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, I'm just happy like mosquitoes.
So many. Most of the bats in the Phoenix area are bug eating. Down in southern Arizona, they have the ones that drink nectar. Those don't generally, even though I have seen one in the North Phoenix area. But in general, all of our bats are insect eaters. So they're helping us out.
We had a texter send in a note at 411-923, if that's your preferred method of communication with the live broadcast. 411-923, and says buying a home near Winkelman, and if you're not familiar with the state or where that is, if you take US 60 South as if you were going to Globe, I don't remember the name of that intersection.
Superior. Past right at Superior.
You would turn south, and Winkelman's right. Over there. Fenced yard, part block, part chain link. What kind of animals might we anticipate out there?
Holy cow. Boy, Amy, he could see almost anything in Arizona, right there.
Yeah, this is that's kind of wildlife heaven out there. I would expect to see, you know, javelinas and coyotes. If you have a solid block wall, your javelinas aren't going to be able to get through. But coyotes, for sure, they can clear a 6-foot fence, no problem whatsoever, even if it's a block wall. So just kind of keep an eye out. You might want to consider rattlesnake proofing your yard. And I say rattlesnake proofing because there are some snakes that climb, but those are the good snakes, right? I think all snakes are good snakes, but that's just me. But you might want to consider that rattlesnake proofing because then it gives you a little bit of peace of mind depending on how big your yard is. You just don't want to have those snakes in your yard, and to keep them out front and keep them outside your walls.
Well, we're certainly seeing our share of wildlife just in and about our neighborhood. Had read some accounts of some wildlife encounters up in the Fountain Hills area. Our neighbor had a coyote come over a 6-foot wall and tear her little terrier up to the point that little Buddy was wearing, I don't know, what did Buddy have, 40 or 50 stitches for quite a while.
Yeah, and he is not a tiny dog. You know, you might picture that happening to little chihuahuas and stuff, but this is a medium-sized dog.
Yeah.
Sturdy dog.
And that coyote came right over the block wall.
And it's one of those things where I'm asked a lot by media, you know, is this happening more often? Are coyotes getting more aggressive? And it is starting to happen more often, but it's because we're letting it happen. So, you know, I was kind of joking, but half serious with you the other day about the fact that, you know, my job is to you know, our job as Game and Fish employees is to, you know, manage, which is conserve and protect state's wildlife. But the reality, most of my job is managing people, not wildlife. You know, and it sounds funny, but the truth is I do it through education. You know, when someone sees it, if there's a coyote that's coming into people's backyards, there's a reason. We've allowed that coyote to feel comfortable in that neighborhood, and someone in your immediate neighborhood is probably feeding it. So it's almost always related. When we have issues with javelina especially and coyotes, there's someone is on your block is saying, you know what, that coyote looks too skinny. And
Amy Burnett, Arizona Game and Fish Education and Information Coordinator, can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your wisdom on how Arizona homeowners can better negotiate wildlife in their yard and in their neighborhood.